I hurt myself today to see if I still.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
I hurt myself tonight.
By watching,
I'm saying this in future tense.
Yeah, by watching Bill Stewart coach a game he does not own because Dana Holgorsen done took his job.
Bill Stewart doesn't really own anything but his whittling stick, but that's all he needs.
This is a bit like a serious man where the guy has already taken the guy's wife. But he's still talking to him. They're in the same spot, right? Like, no. Listen, I know you're hurting right now. Like, I can just see Holgorsen, like, coming over to Bill Stewart, you know, like, coming over to his house, which he has the keys to, you know, and, like, saying hi to his wife, who makes food for him, you know, and just saying, hey, man, listen, I know this sucks.
And just like a serious man, this next year is going to be a hot, indescribable mess.
Yeah, it's going to be cold and inhuman, and nobody's going to be really sort of comfortable with it. It's going to be a bad Coen Brothers movie. It's going to be like, it's going to be low in the canon of watchable footballs, even though I think by the end of the year, they'll be quite watchable. But we should go ahead and tell everybody now, several minutes into this podcast, that this is the West Virginia v. NC State for the Champ Sports Bowl podcast, which...
In which we learned that Orlando's nickname is the City Beautiful.
Is it?
That's what the website says. What the Champ Sports Lounge website says.
I thought that Orlando's nickname was Orlando. Like, I didn't think it really had, like, I thought it was one of those overly factual cities where they had a convention center and they named it the Convention Center.
The City Beautiful. They're not even trying.
No, they're not. And this is, by the way, going to be played on one of the worst fields in college football. I mean,
we return to Joe Robbie Pro Player Landshark Arena.
Yeah, this is the actual conditions of the field itself on the Citrus Bowl. No matter how hard they try,
that's the Miami one. That's the only stadium name not contained here is Landshark.
Yeah, this is an appalling, an absolutely appalling piece of turf. I don't know how you do this in Florida, where everything grows, right? But it really is just an awful piece of turf that gets chewed up really, really quickly. So if somebody gets injured tonight, thanks. What was Orlando's nickname again?
The City Beautiful.
Thanks, the City Beautiful, for the turf injurious. That's what you're going to be looking at here. Let's talk a little bit about the Champs Sports Bowl. The history of the Champs Sports Bowl.
We could just list former names of the Champs Sports Bowl and take up the rest of our allotted 15 minutes.
I think we could, but I'd rather not. Let's just go over basic highlights. This is a bowl game that should be having its, like, late 20s, late first life crisis, because it did start. It was the... Originally,
can I trace the genealogy of this year, because I've actually done this before.
Oh, it's fascinating. Go ahead.
So it was the among other things, this has been the Blockbuster Bowl, the CarQuest Bowl, the Micron PC Bowl, the Mazda Bowl, and the Tangerine Bowl, but not the Tangerine Bowl that's now the Capital One Bowl, which was also at one point the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, which was the Blockbuster Bowl, which was the CarQuest Bowl. So yeah,
okay, so if,
we were retracing the genealogy here before.
Mapped correctly, this is the bowl that has this isn't all their names, but the main trunk of the genealogy tree here goes Blockbuster Bowl, CarQuest Auto Parts Bowl, Micron PC Bowl, Mazda Bowl, Tangerine Bowl, but it's not the Tangerine Bowl that's now the Capital One Bowl, which was also at one point the Citrus Bowl. This is a different Tangerine Bowl.
Yeah, that's a different. It was like the false Tangerine Bowl, the imposter.
Wax Tangerine Bowl.
I really enjoyed the Micron PC Bowl, which was spelled all one, so I always ended up sort of the Micron PC
Bowl.
Yeah.
And if that's not bad enough, this is a bowl that once named Reggie Ball MVP.
that's all you
remember. That also they named Reggie Ball MVP, and I think it's also the only bowl to ever name a punter MVP.
Yeah, that may be all you really need to know about this bowl game, that they had to name the punter MVP, or that Reggie Ball was named the MVP. How do they do as far as swag? That's the important thing, is that we always look at
Oh, is this
their.
the place with all the miniature football helmets?
I believe you get miniature football helmets from the Champ Sports Bowl. I do also believe, by the way, that because this is in Orlando, they sort of skimp on the events, saying, "Well, you're in Orlando." Crickets, crickets. You know, you could go to any of these places that, you know,
Awesome moves.
12-year-olds really enjoy. You know, you could go to Disney if you really wanted to, kids. I'm actually not sure what they get to do, because their website is pretty much designed by a 13-year-old, and not a particularly talented 13-year-old.
But it did teach us about City Beautiful.
That is true. The City Beautiful. Let's actually discuss
There's
what
also this
the.
really sad sentence. Game ticket prices range from $45 to $200.
Well, actually,
Is it sadder to pay $200 for a ticket to the Champ Sports Bowl, or is it sadder that the highest price ticket for the Champ Sports Bowl is $200 face value? Which is worse?
I think it's worse that you click on it and then it goes down to 25. If you actually click on tickets,
Oh.
yeah, it's like from
Oh.
45, and then they go, and there's from 50 to 25. There you go. The here's what you do get, though, in terms of actual events. There's a day for kid. There's a day for kids. Yeah, if you hear this, this is Holly fighting her cat. Animals have besieged
It.
the last two podcasts. But yeah, you get the kids' day, where I imagine they go and they visit sick children, because college football and sick children, they go hand in hand. Then you also get my favorite. This is actually written, the Bill Stewart press conference audio and the Tom O'Brien press conference audio.
Oh, wow.
I cannot think of a worse vaudeville act than the pairing of those two.
It's just going to be the sound of Ovaltine being stirred in a cup with a plastic spoon for 35 minutes.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely disastrous. We could actually talk about how the game would go, because that might be interesting.
Nah.
I don't know. This might be interesting.
Interesting, like a perfectly preserved dead bird on the sidewalk.
Do you think West Virginia's just given up? Because for those, all right,
Yeah,
just in
I
case
do.
you've been asleep for the past month, Bill Stewart has effectively lost his job, but they're keeping him on in a kind of caretaker, transitional, let's hang around until the divorce papers file kind of way, to train up Dana Holgorsen, the incoming offensive
After a really
coordinator.
weird season where they had three losses, and all three losses were basically because they acted like assholes.
Please elaborate on that,
They
Holly.
had no, really, they had, with the way they played LSU, the LSU game was the only one they had reason to lose, and that's because it was LSU in 2010. But they lost to Syracuse and UConn back to back by a total of, I think, 8 points.
Because their defense is outstanding.
The West Virginia UConn game went to overtime, tied at 13.
And which gives you an idea of the all swing pass offense that they run.
They're so sad.
They really do. Like Jason Garrett of the Cowboys watches West Virginia and says, these guys really get it. Because they took Noel Devine and Jock Sanders and Geno Smith, and they decided that they needed to run 400 swing passes a game. They're a really wretched offense to watch. And if you want to know why Dana Holgorsen got hired, it was because Jeff Mullen is the current offensive coordinator. I really think, like, that's the reaction, right? If they had been a really good offensive team and a defensive team, you'd have a defensive coordinator going in. They're now fully in the seesaw of, let's hire a guy who does offense. Let's hire a guy who does defense. That's why he's in, because he can actually coach offensive football, which nobody at West Virginia can do, which is a shame
No,
because,
we're not prepared for that.
yeah, but which is a shame because they have a top 20 defense. And are really, really confusing and fun to watch, because they run the 3-3-5 and they do it as well as anyone in the country. NC State, by the way, has Russell Wilson, and that's really what you'll hear. Like when somebody's like, "What about this NC State team?" They'll say, "Well, they've got Russell Wilson," and that's about it. They've lost a lot. They've lost games to teams they had no reason losing to. Like, how the hell did they lose that East Carolina game? NC State lost to East Carolina, when they're far better or should be far better than that. They lost to Clemson.
Say it again.
They lost to Clemson, which, remember, the running gag on EDSBS is fuck Clemson. Right? Clemson, they're like Purdue South. They don't exist.
Who?
Yeah. And they lost a really, really atrocious Clemson team.
14-13.
14-13. How do you... Seriously, that's like getting choked
out. Well, I mean, it's at Clemson, you know. It's in the lair of Cracky Tiger.
That's getting choked out by a midget bouncer. That's what losing to Clemson is this year. You lost to Dabo Swinney. And they lost to Virginia Tech, which everyone in the ACC did. Which means you all lost to James Madison, bitches. All of you.
Go Dukes.
I know. And then they lost to Maryland because, I don't know, they had to get to 8-4 and thus validate their ACC membership by not having a 9-3 record. They're like, no, it's too ostentatious. We don't do that here in the ACC. So you have to get to 8-4. So really, this is it's an inconsistent team, and they suffer from the same thing that all of any team coached by Tom O'Brien with Dana Bible as their offensive coordinator suffers from, which is we score points, we get up, and then we institute our non-scoring offense, which allows you to crawl back in the game, and which then allows us the possibility of losing this game or winning it by a margin far slimmer than that which we held at halftime. I think that's a pretty good summary, which is a shame because Russell Wilson is a really, really good football player, and he plays
well. He didn't sign with Tom O'Brien by accident, so I don't feel sorry for him unless he tripped over something.
That's true. Did he? Well, I don't know. He. I have to go back and look. Was he an Amato recruit? Are we past that? Which then again, seriously.
Wait, no, that's worse.
Yeah, that's worse, actually. Yeah, screw that. It's all your fault. It's all your fault, damn it.
Just to himself.
Yeah, it's you have nobody to blame but yourself, Russell Wilson. The other thing about this bowl game that I will find quasi-interesting will be Bill Stewart face. I think that's something to look for.
Knowing that there's a light at the end of this tunnel and that it's an oncoming train piloted by the Oklahoma State offensive coordinator, I'm actually really going to enjoy Bill Stewart face this evening.
Yeah, because now he's pretty much in for the uncomfortable threesome for the entire year, right? Like he's
next year's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
it's going to be
so amazing.
It's going to be so uncomfortable. I think that they should do their press conferences with two podiums, right? Two podiums, two microphones, and they should both just talk at once, like at the same time, right? Like, how you doing, Bill? How you doing, Dana? That should be every single press conference. The announcers for this game are going to be Joe Tessitore, Rod Gilmore, and Rob Stone.
That's about what we deserve. Wait. Is Joe Tessitore going to go to, like, Cinderella's palace and do Storm the Dorm?
he's going to storm the women's quarters for those who are cast members at Disney. Maybe they'll go to UCF on break. Like, Storm the Dorm. There's nobody there. Not that there would be a whole lot of people there anywhere because, you know, it's UCF. It's still primarily a commuter school. Maybe they'll just go to somebody's house, like, you know, out in Kissimmee and just chill, right? We thought we'd just drop by with pizza and beer. That'd be nice. And Rob Stone will have to do something quasi-daredevilish. She's not like that Fox Sports, you know, batshit crazy guy who fell off the couch at K-State. I can't recall his name. But Rob Stone will attempt something quasi-adventurous. He's my favorite sideline guy, by the way.
He's like a young Paul McGuire without the speech difficulties.
Or you know, without the rain slicker sitting on the boom, still
Paul Sark, America's Cutty Sark girl.